Jesus, I will worship your holy name.
I started walking up early. I didn't realize they were going to go on and on and on and on. It was very good, though. Very, very good. Very, very, very good. Am I in trouble? Yeah. There's more of them than me. Good morning. Boy, what a week will do coming back from Haiti. Stopping that malaria medication. That's something to really look forward to when you visit down there. Not going to elaborate. But I, you know, those of you that were here last week, I had about half my voice, and that is not true today. So look out, baby. At 1:30 today, in this very room, we're going to celebrate the life of Mary Scarpetti. She made 99. We wanted 100 next February, but we didn't quite get there. But she went to heaven a week ago, this last Saturday. So our memorial service is here, and we're going to have a great time. And there's no good football on at 1. It happens tonight. I get it, you Denver fans. So you're fine. We'll get you home by then, all right? So if you want to come and celebrate with the Scarpes, that'd be great. She's been in our church for over 20 years and sat right there in the second row. And just a really fine, fine lady. And we're excited about that. Also, made an executive decision this week. The executive being me, very, very seldom do I get to exercise that thing called boss. But I think I am the boss. But I just lead a bunch of servants around here, so there's not much bossing that has to go on. But no Bible study on Tuesday night. So sorry. It is a big day. It's election day, and so my wife and I arm wrestled, and I can still take her. I just want you to know that I can still take her. So she's going to send an email out tomorrow in case you're not here. But if you're not here, you're not hearing me, so it doesn't matter anyway. But we just feel like you need to be home. If you're not into it, that's fine. If you are, we don't want to cause struggles. So we're going to, the ladies are going to meet Tuesday morning. And then a week from Tuesday at 5 o'clock, we'll play part two, or she'll give you instructions so you can go on and see part two of Address the Mess with my co-pastor. Him and the colonel. Okay, I'm Andy and colonel, you know, commander. That would be me right in the middle. So we are. They'll show it next week at 5 o'clock. If any of you are interested, make a whole night of it and show part two and three the following week. But we just think you need to be home Tuesday, and either cry or be excited, depending on where the heck you are. Where the heck you are. And I'm not touching that with a 100-foot pole. All right? You get nothing from me. Nothing, baby. Zero. Zero. You're on your own. I just love Jesus. Don't forget that. I love Jesus. So I am not getting this fanny in trouble. So no Bible study Tuesday. If you come here, you will be alone. Well, or the other five people that come. In 5 minutes, it's so fun to stand up here, and I know I do this every year, and it's a little bit mocking, a little sarcastic, and I need to apologize in advance, but somebody's going to come through that door and go, what are you doing? Because they didn't set their clocks, they'll think it's 10:30. I just look back. If I go like this in the middle of a message, the little things of life. So today's theme, becoming aware of Jesus. We started last week. We're just doing a few week series. I don't know how long it'll last. We'll see. We'll ask the boss. But Jesus showing up. And I'm trying to give you some ideas, some lights along the path that may seem a little dark. And how do we know? How can we begin to become sensitive to Jesus showing up in our life? So hopefully this will help you in the process, as it's helped me over the years, as Jesus has become more personal, more desirable to me than just a doctrine, than just a truth to believe in order for me to go to heaven. But where he's become a real friend, an ever-present ally and savior, and one that is always with me. And I just believe what he says, And so how do we act upon it? How do we take him home with us? Not just our faith so that we head to heaven when we die, as Mary did last week. I want that baby locked in. I'm pretty sure I got that locked in. But how do I live out my life in a way? Because I want to honor him. I want to love him. I want him to be first in my life. How do I pull that off? So I'm just throwing some ideas out that you might want to consider along that path. And hopefully it helps. A Sunday school teacher decided to have her young class memorize one of the most quoted passages in the Bible. She's a good Sunday school teacher, and she wants to bring the truth, baby. And so she wanted them to memorize Psalm 23. And she gave the youngsters a month to learn the chapter. And it's not long. It's not hard. Many of you in this room, if you had to pencil it out, if somebody threw you in prison somewhere because you love Jesus, you could figure out most of the words in this psalm right now. And some of you are really bright, and you know all of it, so there. But little Ricky was excited about the task. He likes taking things on. But he just couldn't remember the psalm. Ricky was a little bit ADD. He was willing, and he would try, but Ricky's Ricky. After much practice, he could barely get past the first line. He didn't know why. It was just his reality. On the day the kids were scheduled to recite Psalm 23 in front of the church, Ricky was very nervous, as you'd expect. When it was his turn, he stepped up to the microphone, and he said proudly, "The Lord is the shepherd, and that's all I need to know." So there. You know, it's true. That is so true. That is so true. But there is so much more, Ricky. And we're Ricky today. Are we willing to travel down that road? Are we willing to consider how? Is there a way for me to have more of Jesus in my life? We're not talking salvation here, folks. If you got him, you got him. Deal's done. But is there a possibility? If I want to dream, could he really be active in my life all day long? And most of us, there are people of faith that say, well, yeah, of course he can. Wow. Okay, I'm just Jim. How do I figure that out? So that's where we're tracking as best we can, all right? So let's have some fun. Bow your heads with me if you would, and let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for all that you are in our life. Jesus, we want to love you. We want to honor you. We want you to be first in our life in every way. And I pray for every man, woman, and child in this room, starting with myself, that you would unlock the reality of how you want us to think, how you want us to interact with you day in and day out. Help us see the possibilities. Help us capture what it is you want us to capture this day. So, Jesus, we welcome you into this room. We ask you to take our hearts and our minds and all that we are and just feed into that part of us that only you can feed into. Thank you that we can be confident that Mary right now is dancing with you. We can only imagine what it's like. Thank you that all of us that have become followers of you, Jesus, can boldly proclaim the same thing in our future. And we pray for our kids that they might be certain as the days go on that they too know Jesus. And they could be where Mary is right now one day. So thanks for today. Touch us. Take us. Help us to love you more. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, oh, this was almost that day. I was just going to go on for 20 minutes and see how many of you I lost. It's just one of those days. I'm messing around today. You get to at work, and so do I every now and again. Not always. Usually I'm serious, and I don't smile much up here, all right? Have you ever thought there's just got to be something more? There's got to be something more. One of my favorite singers on the planet, and I want you to know the fact that I'm saying this right now is going to get me in trouble with some of the men in the room. They are going to laugh at me. They won't do it out loud because they have minimal respect for me. But I'm going to tell you. Her name is Jennifer Nettles, and she's one of the greatest female singers on the planet, whether you know her or not. The girl can bring it. She's the lead singer of Sugarland. I used to call him Sugarloaf, and my kids would laugh at me, and I finally figured it out, Sugarland. Sounds the same to me. And she has sort of a solo career as well, but she's a country western singer, and Carlos will be okay with that, and Lori. And she sings this song, Something More. And here's how the chorus goes. It says, there's got to be something more. There's got to be more than this. I need a little less hard time. I need a little more bliss. I'm going to take my chances, taking a chance I might find what I'm looking for. There's got to be something more. And just for fun, to show you, Deb Kazmak, how good Jennifer Nettles is. Here's the chorus.
There's got to be something more. Got to be more than this.
Oh my. And my poor daughter in the back just threw up a little. Listen, when it comes to Jesus, this is a little bit true for each of us. Really. And you know it's in your brain. You know you ask the question when you're on a walk. There's so much I believe we leave on the table. I want all he has, everything, relationally. If closeness is available, and I believe it is, and I believe actually he wants it more than I want it. If closeness is available, let's be close. Let's be productive in that category. If Jesus showing up can be experienced in my life throughout the course of my days, which he really does care about, not just my history, not just my legacy, but my days. I want it. We want to see Jesus in our life. We want all he has for us. It just makes sense. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 there in your notes. We've talked about this a lot, but just for fun today to kind of kick off this thought. Again, I'm trying to make you think today and ponder and consider your life and him and what it might look like. And surely, he's saying, Jesus is, pay special attention, fellas. I myself, my presence, your divine Savior. I am with you always, every day of your life. I'm with you all the time throughout the course of every day. Nobody or nothing can offer this to you. It's just not possible. Only Jesus. To the very end of the age, referring to the time when he physically returns. So there's never going to be a time, those of us that are followers, believers in him, that are going to be without him. To lock that truth in your brain and move it to your heart and then move it to your shoes so that it's in your life is a great challenge. No matter what I face, that Jesus is there. No matter what I face, he's there. And we face a lot. Emotionally, physically at times. Loss. Lots of things. The message is he's with us. He's available. He's present. He's present. John 10:25, Jesus answered, I did tell you to the fellows. I've told you 10 different ways, guys, who I am, what I am, what I can do for you. But you do not believe. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do, fellas. You refuse to believe I'm the Messiah. It's a battle to give up lordship of your life to another. And that's what he's asking for. That's what he asks of us. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. Jesus saying, I have demonstrated to you, fellas, my disciples, that I am the Messiah. Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. You don't belong to me. You haven't given yourself to me. You haven't embraced me. You haven't believed in me, fellas, like you should. You refuse to believe. You've rejected the truth about me. You will not follow. Therefore, you're not connected to me. He's saying this to his disciples, trying to woo them, trying to win them. Verse 27. On the other hand, he lays this out. He says, my sheep, those who belong to me, listen to my voice. They listen to me. They want to hear what I say. They want to hear what I think. They want to listen to what I want. They don't give me the hand. They welcome me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. One of the privileges of faith is that Jesus really knows you when you have a real faith. He knows you intimately in every way possible. He says, and they follow me. When we talk about following Jesus, this is a big deal. You prove out that you're his sheep. Some simply respond to the message concerning Jesus that they just believe. It may be a war to get there. It may take them some time. They may have to give some things up. They may have to test the water first and taste it. But finally, they succumb, they submit, and they believe. And they continue to listen because they're in relationship with him. He matters to them. Verse 28, I give, Jesus himself, the gift giver, I give them eternal life. They're the ones who get it. We possess at that point a life that never ends. This is a beautiful message of the gospel right here. He's just restating it in a different way. What's available to people who are willing to follow me and listen to me and be a sheep of mine and let me be their shepherd like Ricky figured out. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Not a false shepherd, not a devil, not anything. You can't get, once you're in the hand of Jesus, you're stuck, which is a wonderful thing. Nobody has power to do so. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. True. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. All power lies with him. I and the Father are one. And what he's saying here is we possess the same nature. Two parts of the Trinity. Jesus is claiming to be God here, which is bold and big. And this is why they killed him ultimately, the Pharisees, the religious leaders and the Romans. And Jesus is telling us right here, I'm in this with you. My sheep, hear me. My sheep relate to me. My sheep follow me. If you're looking for something more, what he's saying is, I'm it. I'm it all day long. And somehow to get that truth locked in, even if you feel distant as a believer follower, and you go, what is Jim talking about? This closeness, this intimacy, this friendship, this showing up stuff. I don't know what he's talking about. I want that. It sounds good. He's available. He's available. Jesus comes up to Simon and Andrew. And this is early on. While fishing and casting their nets, the Bible says in Mark 1:17, he says, hey, come, follow me, Jesus says. This is more of a command than a request. It appears like a request to us, but he's really commanding them. They have an option, just like everybody does with every command that Jesus makes. But this is an enormous request. Make no mistake about it. This is a life-changing decision that these two fellas are facing right here, right now. As they're doing their craft, their vocation, their money-making adventure. And it's similar for us. It's not the same thing. I get it. Jesus isn't on the shore looking at us. But you choose this, and the idea here is your life is different after you choose this. And I think a lot of people just kind of add Jesus. They go to a church like this maybe, and they figure out that I don't believe in Jesus and I need to. It happened to me in 1978. I realized what the guy up front was preaching for 3 months. I don't believe that, but I sure like all the girls that are in this room of 1,000 people. And one of them was named Sandy. And she sang pretty good. That's another story. Took me 3 months, and finally I said, ooh, should I believe what this guy believes? And I said, yes. And I did it. Your life is different after that fact. He goes on to say, and this is what I'm going to do, fellas, Simon and Andrew. I will send you out to fish for people. Your life passion now is fishing, making money, living your life, enjoying the sunshine, and the fruit of your labor, your life passion will become different. People will become your focus and their souls. And I believe this is should happen to every one of us. Not professionally, not in terms of you got a new vocation. But if you aren't plugged in to what matters to Jesus, you're not plugged in the way you ought to be. And it's all about people and their souls. It's not about your bank account, even though you need to be responsible with and for that. Following Jesus makes others want what we have. I mean, why are you here today? Really? Because you believe you have a friend in Jim that is going to try to unpack Jesus for you. At least many of you. Maybe you got dragged here or paid or bribed to come. I don't know, but you look good today. Following Jesus gives us the capacity to impact others, people. Jesus creates divine impact, not us. We don't have that power. He creates divine appointments in life for us. I don't know that we always see that. Your life is to be about people and loving others. And Jesus wants to play a role in that. And that's what we're going to try to unpack today in a way that can be understandable. So understanding divine appointments, what the heck, what's that, Jim? Well, let me try to share some thoughts here today. When you get up in the morning, one of the things you could do, number one there in your notes, is ask. Jesus, what's in store for me today? Jesus, what do you want my day to look like? First thing out of bed, you got to do something. And first thing probably is brush your teeth, but most of you look at your phone. See if you got any hits, if anybody wants you. What time is it? It's our alarm clock. Even in Haiti, every kid has a phone. I don't understand. It's okay. Sorry. But first thing in the morning when your day starts out, this is just a thought again. Jesus, what you gonna do today with me? Not I want this and I want that and this ought to happen, Jesus. Who cares what you want? Jesus, what are you going to do with me today? Me, little old me that's a fisher of men. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Maybe with a smile after you brush your teeth. Whatever it is, Jesus, I'm your guy. I'm in. Start your day with this kind of attitude. Look at Matthew 6:33, classic verse, just to remind us. But seek first his kingdom. Make God first in your life. This ain't a bad way to start out. People matter more than anything. And his righteousness. Live for him. Live his way is the idea. Thirst for it. And all these things will be given to you. All that you need. God will not let you down, the Bible says. Just live out his priorities. Make him first in your life. Joy results because of where you find yourself and who's the priority in your life. Ephesians 5:15. Paul lays this out and he says, be very careful. This is what I continue to tell my 19-year-old son. Be very careful. I've always wanted him to memorize this verse. How you live. And the idea here is take life seriously. Don't just be, oh, well, boy, I'm a laid-back, chill guy. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Be careful to live with wisdom, not foolishness. The basic wise statement that every parent would like every one of their kids to embrace. Verse 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity. And the idea here is use your hours and your time wisely. You only have so many of them. Your life is like a vapor, James tells us. Live our life in a way that grabs the day, that cares daily about what God cares about. And what God cares about, folks, is people. He doesn't care about our stuff. We ought to be responsible with it. We ought to be wise with it. But he doesn't care about our stuff. He cares about people. People, people, people. People. Three divine appointments to look for every day. Just again, some thoughts for you. Number two, but really it's the first. But you can figure that out because you're so bright. Ask, what's scheduled in my day? After you say, Jesus, what do you got for me today? Begin to think about what's scheduled in my day. As we know and have mentioned, people are important to Jesus. So as we talk about schedules, who are you meeting today in your normal life? Who is it that you're going to have lunch with on Wednesday this week, which would be my wife? Megan, right? Was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Huh. Who are you meeting today? Who's in your life? What's your schedule say? What appointments are there? What are they? Assume Jesus set it up, because that is your day. You say, Jim, well, I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to have staff meet at night. They're the first people you're meeting with, and they matter to Jesus. It doesn't mean you're going to come in with your Bible and a little music stand. And you're going to say, excuse me, I need 5 minutes. Especially if you're a principal. Don't want to do that. Should be looking for a job. As I look at my schedule, what's coming? Keep this in mind. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Classic verses again. Trust in the Lord. This is the action you're to take every day, all day. My life is going to trust in the Lord. To trust the Lord is to submit my life to His control. And say, Jesus, you've got some people in my schedule today, and they matter to you. They need to matter to me. This is a way of just calming down your life. You have no idea what He's going to do in your life to those people that are there all the time, maybe, in your schedule. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Make the Lord the love of your life by trusting Him. That's what He's saying. And lean not on your own understanding. Human insight isn't enough to pull off your day. For us that are followers, it's not enough. Because God may be working somehow that you don't even know. And you don't have to know, but you're available. Because whatever's in your schedule, you know it's kind of your job to work through your day trusting the Lord with all your heart. And not leaning on just my own brain and what I know and what I've experienced and what I feel. Verse 6, in all your ways, small and big, acknowledge Him. Make plans under His direction. Think about it. Submit to Him prior to deciding anything. Ask for His help in the midst of the conversation. Maybe one of the appointments that day is not going well. And you're going, thanks a lot, Jim. He just put me into a train wreck. No, you're in the train wreck. Ask for help in the train wreck. How can I do my best in this? Who can I save? Who can I bandage? Who can I protect? How can I help? All day long. And He'll make your path straight. This is God's part and a promise if we do our part. This is more than guidance. God can overcome obstacles if you're living it with Him. Living my life day in and day out, trusting in the Lord, looking for Him to lead me, acknowledging Him throughout my day, expecting Him to be involved in guiding me, strengthening me, coaching me, showing up regularly is the way you want to live your schedule, whatever it is. Don't go it alone. And we've learned how to. We haven't been taught in our life, I don't believe generally, how to be ever dependent on Jesus, His love. We've been taught to believe in Him because of what happens if the worst happens. But to not see Him show up and invest in and be all about the day that we're living. Concerning divine appointments, the first thing is, what's in my day? What is it? What's in my schedule? What does Jesus have for me already predefined that I don't know anything about? A second type of divine appointment, number 3 there in your notes, a second type of appointment is a spontaneous appointment. Now, don't even try to spell that without looking at the screen, men. It starts with an S. My wife humbly said yesterday, we were watching a little football. Excuse me. I was watching a little football, and she was on her phone. And she said, Jim, I just took a spelling test that's really hard, and I got 100%. I said, well, what words are on it? And she said 3 words that I'm not even going to try to spell. I said, show off. I can do it with spell check. I can. A spontaneous event or appointment in your day is something unexpected. It just happens. It just happens. And it's people you know. These are not strangers, but they happen, not all the time, but little touches in life. They're very normal. Something that really happens actually pretty frequently if you think about it in your days. You run into someone you know. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? Haven't seen you for a while. You know all those lines that we say? Maybe, just maybe, Jesus made that happen for a reason that you and I don't know about. You never know what people are going through. You just never do. And we need to care about it because we're followers. Not just because we're such wonderful people, but Jesus has made us into lovers, not just livers of life. We are lovers of people. That's our duty. It's what he told the guys in the upper room. Please, you got to love one another. And if you love one another, people will know that you're my disciples. He wants us to be passionate about that. This kind of thing happened to Jesus. Guys he knew took him aside. They're traveling. You know the story. Look at Mark 10:35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. God took him aside. I don't know. Have you ever taken Jesus aside? By the way, along with their mother, we learn in Matthew. That's a whole other story. I should have thrown it in here, but that's okay. To ask for a favor of him. Man, people do this so often in life. They ask for favors. It's just the way life goes. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, just asking that up front, that's a loaded question, statement, desire. Well, what do you want me to do for you? He asked. I got to believe there's a smile on Jesus' face. He loves laughter. We love laughter in this room. We want to laugh every chance we get. And what exactly do you want me to do for you? What are you asking me? And really what he's saying is, what's important to you enough to take me aside and say to me, listen, we want you to do something for us? I don't know if they've done this a lot before. They were strong personalities, I sense, based on who they were sons of. Verse 37, they replied, let one of us sit at your right, you know the story, and the other at your left in glory when everything's done. And a little bold here. We want a prominent position alongside you. And we believe, frankly, that we deserve it. Therefore, we're willing to ask you. We want to be honored before other men. That's exactly what we want. We want and deserve the top spots in your world. Peter's always putting his foot in his mouth, right? Jesus, come on. Come on. And Thomas, he is so boring. Do you even want a long conversation with Thomas, really? And Bartholomew, what kind of name is that? Bartholomew. I don't know what the conversation was like. Bart. I guess Bart's okay. And then Jesus comes back with truth, as he always does. Verse 38, you don't know what you're asking. They were sophomoric in their request, but they were honest. You guys have no idea what you're asking for, really. Jesus says, as he poses this question to him, really, like, excuse me, you want to think about that for a second? He says, can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? To drink means to participate and to participate fully in what I'm going to face. And remember, he had just told them what was going to happen to him prior to this event. And he told them over and over again, so it's no surprise. We can, they said, just bold and stupid. We can. And we'll cut the story off there, but this is a spontaneous event and a point. Now, Jesus knew because he's God, but it happens to him. It happens to all of us. Stuff, conversations, unexpectedly with people that we know. Depending on where you work, maybe all day long. They afford us the opportunity to encourage someone. To be a positive person versus a negative Nelly. Nelly. I don't know any Nelly. I'll never say the word Nancy again, hopefully. Did I just do it again? I think it's a beautiful name. They afford us the opportunity to build someone up when someone comes across our path. And sometimes we're too busy for that. Stop being too busy. You're a Jesus guy. You're a Jesus gal. You're here to love. and you got to get your work done. I'm not saying go clean off their desk for them. But let's stop the train for a minute. Jesus first, value first, all day long for a spontaneous appointment. People we just run into that we know, we ought to value them. Nothing may be more important than that, because you don't know what they're going through. And you represent Jesus all day to them if they know anything about you. Bob Goff had a great Instagram yesterday. I think I have it for you, or actually, Joe has it for you from yesterday. He's a good guy to follow. He's got like 181,000 people, and I just went over 200. I've got 200. You laughing at me? I'm not Bob Goff, okay? I don't have a cool name like that. Makinga isn't Goff. But look what he said. He says, to-do list for today. You can read. Love God. Love people. Do stuff. But I love the order. Don't forget the order. It's not do stuff, and I hope I love God, and I may slip some love to others in there. Not us. We know Jesus, and we know what Jesus wants. That order. All day, every day. And if somebody doesn't like that for you, they can go, we'll stop there, you figure it out. They can go. Because I'm not going to stop because of what Jesus has said. And I'm one of his sheep. I listen to him. I really listen to him. And I want you to listen to him. A third type of divine appointment, which is number four for us. Go figure. This would be a surprise appointment. Someone you don't know. Somebody you don't know. Let's say, just for fun, we're talking about tomorrow, and it can happen today. We're going to see a lot of people here from the past at 1:30, those of you that will be here. But let's say Jesus has a plan for you this Monday, which would be tomorrow in your life, that you know nothing about. You don't have a clue, nor should you. But Jesus is up to something. Jesus is going to show up tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday in your life. Somebody you don't even know is going to be introduced or bump into you. Maybe it's a fender bender. Who knows? Who knows? The message here is always be looking for this. Let Jesus have his way with you. Get ready for this. Be a welcome agent for Jesus in any and every way you can. You never know when it's going to happen. But these are divine appointments that we don't know about. We don't get an advanced agenda from God about the month of December. We just live it out a day at a time. And most of our life revolves around, if we have the privilege of being married, our wife or husband, and then our children. And one day they sadly move, and you're all alone, and it's wife and husband. Jesus had one of these events happen in Sychar. You know the story. John 4:4. Now he had to go through Samaria. This is a divine appointment. Now he's God, but he had to go through Samaria. Had to. I don't know why. I'm not sure. Well, there's a setup going on. So Jesus is on the move, verse 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph, verse 6. Jacob's well was there, about a half a mile south of the city. And Jesus, he was tired. He was 100% man and 100% God at the same time. He got tired. He was tuckered. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. He was tired of walking, tired of the heat, traveling, maybe hungry, maybe thirsty, as we'll see in the story. It was about the sixth hour, 6 hours after sunrise, at noon. Good time for a siesta and a little rest in the shade. Verse 7, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Generally, the women came closer to the evening to beat the heat. Big part of this story, by the way. She's here closer to noon. And the reason why is because she wasn't very popular, because she had a number of men in her life. So she was sort of an outcast. She was outside the bounds, so she had to go at noon. Another story for another day. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" He invited her into his world, which generally a man wouldn't do in that situation. It may seem like no big deal, but in the culture of that day, this wouldn't happen. So Jesus had a surprise appointment. Now, he's God. This was all planned. It's a great story. We're not going to go on with it. Go home and read it if you want. But with a lady he had never met before, this was a surprise appointment. He started up a conversation, and he moved to some pretty deep stuff about her past and about how she needs something different than regular water. She needed some water from him, if you know the story. So understanding divine appointments, what they may look like in your life, ask what's scheduled in my day. That's first and foremost, because that's happening. That's just going to happen. Then a spontaneous appointment, people you know that just kind of happen into your life. It happened Thursday morning. Sandy and I went early to the gym, and we came really early, and one of my friends came a little bit later. His name was Larry Johnson. We are finishing our workout, and he just comes in half asleep. Or no, he just dropped his daughter off the airport. That's why he was late. And we were done and ready to leave, and I said, "Wait a minute, Larry's over there." And you know, you don't want to get between my wife and a cup of coffee if you're a smart man. I said, "Come on." And he's on the bike, acting like he's working out hard, and he was. He didn't see us. And I came over, and I started rubbing his back and doing my thing. It looks a little weird in the gym, but my wife was right there, so it was okay. And we talked for 5 minutes. Told us a little bit about Vicky, and she's going back east, and no big deal. We could have just walked out. I love that man, and he loves me. You know, sometimes you live with a hat on and your binders are down. You want to go through the market and kind of not see anybody. You don't have right makeup on, or something's off, you know, your clothes aren't right. I get it. Live life. A spontaneous appointment, a surprise appointment, somebody you don't know. This happened in Haiti with a gal named Tammy Jo. She was the financial runner of the place. And one day she sat down next to me at lunch, and 2.5 hours later, talking about her bad days with men in her life. And she's there, and she's kind of in charge of this whole thing, and she's bawling. She goes, "I don't know why I'm crying." And I'm thinking, "Lady, you're talking to a pastor that cares about you." 2 hours. And what was so wonderful is I didn't have to work during those 2 hours physically. The truth is an ugly thing. But that was a surprise appointment. Baby, I'm available. And I loved on her. In your name and in Jesus' name. And I'm going to send her daring greatly next week. So, universal truths for all concerning divine appointments. Just a couple things to think when you're thinking through this, and try to add this to your life in whatever way you want. Number one, nothing is a surprise to God. When something happens, there's a purpose. Assume Jesus set up your life. He wants to use you all day, every day. Don't just meander through your life. Live it in Jesus' name to you. We need to be willing to show up for him when he shows up for us. People matter, and we're going to touch on people during our day. Remember, nothing's a surprise to God. Number two, divine appointments are to teach you. This is a biggie. Divine appointments are not just about others being touched, valued, loved, encouraged by you. That is true. But they're opportunities for us to learn something, to learn about care, to be faithful to the task God has in front of us. Every appointment should be met with real expectancy, if you will, but to see what Jesus might do, to see what you might learn. One of the greatest events my wife and I went to in the last month was my friend and your friend, Sandra Stewart, setting up this homemade event 3 weeks ago, just before we left for Haiti. And we're in this, we're in downtown Beverly Hills. I tried to look the part, too. I had my suit on. I was looking sweet. That's what my wife told me, anyway. She's dressed up, and we're going to this cocktail hour thing to introduce homemade back into L.A. And it's a big deal. And our Sandra is the chairman of the board. She'd never tell you this. I didn't ask her permission, but you know, I know her good enough that, you know what, I'll take the guff that comes. But the work that she's trying to do is so ridiculously wonderful, and to try to stop some of the homelessness, to help give people a leg up and to get back to normalcy if they can. It was a huge event, a huge success. The lead singer from Train was there, and his sister-in-law came out, and she talked about this place that she built in, I think it was Seattle, in the children's hospital, because she lost her three-year-old daughter or son to cancer. And there was nowhere for them to go as they lived through this. They built this safe place. And so much happened that night, but our Sandra did that. I learned so much that night. She learned so much doing this event. When you do things in your life, be a learner. Be a learner. To see what Jesus might do through you, even the little things, to see what you might learn. Asking Jesus, what will I learn through this encounter? It is a different attitude to take into every day. Number three and last, another thing to take note of, people aren't the same after seeing Jesus. We know this in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. MMLJ, if you like that short one. MMLJ, hashtag, the Gospels. Each encounter Jesus had with people, as you read through, people were never the same after. They were affected by Jesus. And we bring Jesus to the table, especially if we're looking for him to show up in small and beautiful ways throughout our day, and hoping for it, praying for it, willing to hear, willing to do, willing to be a part, whatever it might be. Life isn't just about me. It's about what is he going to do with my day today, with an eagerness. When Jesus produces an opportunity in life, grab hold of it, even if it's small. Encourage away, love away, value away. When these divine appointments happen, get excited. You don't tell them, hey, excuse me, you know what's happening right now? We're having a divine appointment right now. Dear, that's, you're weird. You are a weirdo if you say that. You will scare them. Expect Jesus to show up in your life this week. Expect it. You be sure that you show up as well. So watch this in closing. Concerning your schedule, I don't know what you're willing to squeeze in or fit in. I don't know what's in it now, but let's put a little Jesus in it, all right? To explain it, right? Yeah, it's so good to be together, huh? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be confident that you love us, and that you love us thinking about following you. So just as we talk through things, as we make things possible that we could reconsider in our life throughout the course of our days, just make it real. Touch us with truth. Thank you that we can talk about it here in this way. Thank you for each guy and gal that are in this room. We just love you, and we want you to know that more than anything, and we're willing to love people in your name every day, every day, every day. So set us up. Show up for me and for my friends this week, and may we show up for you in every way we can. We love you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a wonderful day.